What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined with my co-host, as always, David Drogemeyer. We're two writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, it's Wednesday, so that means it's Crossover Wednesday. Excited to be back with another crossover episode for you guys after taking a week off because the Chargers didn't have an opponent last week. So David is going to sit down with Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast to get into all of the things about this game this weekend and a huge game for the Chargers. Even though it might not get them into the playoffs, they need it to stay in the hunt. So big game this weekend. Glad we got to talk with Cody Rourke about this game. So you guys are definitely going to want to stick around for that. But to start the show, we have some roster moves from the Chargers that we're going to get into. A lot of little moves, none that are going to move the needle in any ways. But we're going to address that because the Chargers have signed Malik Jefferson to the practice squad. They've released Dontrell Inman from injured reserve. Now he is a free agent. And they also activated Tavon Campbell to the active roster. So let's go ahead and get into it. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. The Chargers have made a few roster transactions this week, starting with the Chargers releasing veteran wide receiver Dontrell Inman. We really liked the signing of Dontrell Inman before the season, especially with the Chargers' lack of depth at the position. It's a very top-heavy position for the Chargers with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen at the top, and they've really gotten no production, whether it's been Travis Benjamin or Andre Patton, whoever's filled in that third receiver role. But when Dontrell Inman was still on the team, he was pretty productive for them, even though he only played four games. So now he's released from injured reserve. The Chargers were not able to bring him back from injured reserve because of bringing Adrian Phillips and Derwin James back already. Those were the two spots they had for that. But now that Dontrell Inman is released and he cleared waivers, he's able to sign with any team that he wants. And he's also able to sign with the Chargers again if they wanted him, but he would have to wait 3 weeks from when the settlement happened. So David, the Chargers have not really had a third option at wide receiver, and you know Dontrell Inman would be able to fill in that role, especially as he was heating up right before he had to exit. He was filling in for Mike Williams when he put up 5 catches for 74 yards in the last game he played before getting injured. It makes sense that the Chargers released him. It gives him a chance to go out and join another team as he was only on a 1-year contract. But it would have been nice to have a guy like him with the Chargers' third wide receivers producing nothing since Travis Benjamin got injured.
Yeah, it sucked to see that Dontrell Inman got hurt, Daniel. I mean, and got hurt relatively early. I mean, he was only able to come in and produce in a short span. He only played a couple of games, and then he was basically put on IR for the rest of the season. So, you know, it's unfortunate for him as a professional to kind of waste a year. It's good on the Chargers that they released him, give him another opportunity to maybe catch on with another team. He's obviously a very capable third wide receiver for most teams in the NFL. It'd be good to see him get another chance. I mean, obviously, he's got good hands. He's a very professional route runner, a pretty decent blocker. I mean, he's a good NFL wide receiver. I think it won't take very long for him to catch on with another team to finish out the year.
Yeah, I hope so, because Dontrell Inman is a guy that's always showed up for the Chargers, worked extremely hard to get the snaps that he got, and I mean, he went and proved that he could play for a couple other teams. I mean, he was with the Colts for a little bit, he was with the Bears for a little while as well, and he produced relatively well for both of those teams. For a guy who's always overachieved, you hope he can keep it going, even if it's with another team. But to get to the other transactions, the Chargers brought in Malik Jefferson to the practice squad, who was originally selected by the Bengals in the third round of the 2018 draft and has spent time with the Bengals in his first season, and now this year showed up in 9 games for the Browns before being released. Now he's with the Chargers, and the Chargers are obviously taking a waiver on this guy for a third round pick to already have been cut from last season is a little bit of a red flag, but this is kind of a no-risk move for the Chargers, and we don't know if we'll even see him on the active roster. But one guy who is on the active roster is Tavon Campbell, the former CFL cornerback who has been up and down with the Chargers. He's been activated once before and then moved back to the practice squad, and now with the suspension to Michael Davis, he finds himself back on the active roster again, and he's kind of a tricky one, David, just because we don't have any tape of him in the NFL playing in regular season games. He's yet to record a stat as a legitimate NFL player, but the Chargers obviously see something in him if they want to activate him to the active roster. They've had a bunch of corners on the practice squad, and this is the guy that they chose to come up. So with Brandon Faison looking like the guy that's going to get the start with Michael Davis out, as we see things right now, the only thing this guy could really do is impress us, David, but we really have nothing to go on as far as what kind of production that you guys could expect.
The Canadian, the 6 foot, 200 pound player, didn't have a lot of NFL stats out there, but he did play in the CFL. He played 4 seasons in the CFL. He racked up 42 games played, had 53 defensive tackles, had 9 special teams tackles, even threw in a sack, had 4 interceptions in his 4 seasons for 3 different franchises in the CFL. So he has shown a little propensity to get his hands on the football. So if he's able to showcase some of that for the Chargers, then he might find a home. I mean, we all know that outside of Desmond King and Casey Hayward and, you know, maybe Michael Davis, there's a lot of uncertainty at that cornerback position.
Yeah, and I actually would like to see him play a little bit. I mean, I think you know what you have in the other guys who will be maybe rotating in that role, covering for Michael Davis, and it's only 2 games that he's going to be gone. But the Chargers don't know what the future is going to hold for them at the position. I think they are happy with Michael Davis, but I think they know they are pretty thin there as far as depth goes. So for a guy like this, it's definitely a tryout, David. It's definitely a chance for him to show something and show the team that he deserves to be back next year and that he could be part of the plan going forward. And for a guy like him from the CFL, a Canada native, I just think that this is a pretty cool opportunity for him, but we might not even see him on the field. And if he doesn't get on the field, that either means Brandon Faison is performing well, and it also means that the team is relatively healthy and they're not getting hurt at that position. But we do have 2 more segments to get into our crossover Wednesday edition of the Locked On Chargers, joining the Locked On Broncos and Cody Rourke to break down this upcoming game against the Broncos coming up right after this. But I do need to tell you guys about our favorite car dealership. That's right, I'm talking about Metro Infinity. You can find them right off the 210 in Monrovia, and you have to swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. They're the only dealer in California that is family owned and have been in business for over 25 years. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is that if you don't like coming into the dealership, it's no problem. They will bring your new car and the paperwork to your house or office and complete the whole transaction there. We have already had 1 Locked On Chargers listener go into Metro Infinity and tell them that we sent him over there and he got $500 off the brand new Infinity that he drove off in. So definitely a special thank you to them again for doing that, because that's still so crazy. But it's really not a surprise, because Metro Infinity takes pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. Trust me, these guys get it. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com to check out their selection of new and used cars. And tomorrow you could be going out with a... And today you could be driving off in a brand new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with an extra $500 off because you told them Locked On Chargers sent you over there.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a special Thanksgiving week crossover series here on the Locked On NFL Network. We have Locked On Chargers. We have Locked On Broncos. And I'm joined by David Dragemeyer, host of the Locked On Chargers podcast. And we're going to be breaking down Sunday's matchup. And there are a lot of similarities in what we're going to be discussing, because the theme for these two teams happens to be quarterback. But David, how are you, man? It's Thanksgiving week, and thankful that you're joining me here on this broadcast today.
Oh, I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. I want to, you know, send a happy Thanksgiving out to all the Locked On Broncos listeners, and of course to all the Locked On Chargers listeners that are catching this crossover right before they're about to stuff their faces with a bunch of delicious food.
You know, I love food. You know, what is your favorite dish for Thanksgiving? I think, I like the combination. This might be underrated, but I like having a slice of ham. I like having turkey in the middle, and I like putting some mashed potatoes and gravy on top, and I like kind of eating it like a sandwich. That's kind of my go-to for Thanksgiving. What's yours?
Oh, man, that's a good one, man. So I am not a huge turkey fan, to be quite honest. I don't know. The tryptophan really, really does a number on me and puts me to sleep. So if I'm trying to go to sleep, then yeah, I'm jumping on turkey. But I'm actually more of a ham guy. I think I like ham. And honestly, this might be a little bit of a strange one, but I like the green bean casserole most of the time, too. If it's done right, I like it a lot.
I love that as well. That's definitely a good go-to. But, hey, we're going to get into this discussion here. Broncos, Chargers, AFC West divisional matchup. And I'm going to start off this by asking you some questions regarding the LA Chargers, where they've been. And, you know, really after that 24-17 loss last week on Monday Night Football to the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, the Chargers, they've had some time to regroup ahead of their matchup with the Broncos this Sunday. I want to get it from you. What has been your analysis on the Chargers' first half of this season? A lot of ups and downs, but, you know, really, you're the one guy I'm going to ask to pinpoint where things have been for the first half.
Well, I mean, honestly, Cody, it all starts with the one possession games. I mean, the Chargers have lost every single one of their games that they've lost this year by less than one score. It's just been absolutely backbreaking. The Chargers either get down in games and, you know, they always allow points before halftime, which has been a killer. I mean, they just have not found a way to stop teams before half. And, you know, so many mistakes, obviously a lot of injuries the Chargers have dealt with, but I mean, the Chargers have been in every single game they played this year. So it's all about just lack of execution. I mean, you got a chance to win football games. You got an opportunity. I mean, Phillip Rivers has thrown four interceptions, late in games when he's had an opportunity to take the Chargers back and win a game for him. And, you know, it's just been a really off year for Phillip. I mean, obviously injuries on the offensive line has not helped that fact, but I mean, honestly, for the Chargers, it's been a snapshot of their season would be getting down, coming back, getting it close, and then just to, you know, break every Charger fan's heart in the end for most of these games this season. It's just, you know, it's been a bad year.
It's been frustrating. You answered part of my other question, you know, that I was going to ask you too, but I'm going to ask you anyways. You know, when we're talking about Phillip Rivers and his struggles, I mean, when you take a look at the last two games, he's thrown for three touchdowns and seven interceptions, and some of those interceptions, as you mentioned, in crunch time situations, and it's got a lot of people talking. I mean, is it the fact that is Phillip Rivers regressing, or is it a combination of those various elements that you mentioned? You talk about the offensive line, the struggles there. You talk about some injuries to the wide receiver position at times. You know, we know that this offense has been predicated off the first half of the season. I mean, they were explosive in running the football with Austin Eckler, getting the ball to him. You know, what's been going on with Phillip Rivers, and do you think that he can correct some of these things throughout this season?
So I do believe that he can correct some of these things. And yeah, I mean, you can't not overstate the value of their left tackle, Russell Okung, being gone for most of the year. Sam Tevy, their right tackle, has been gone the last couple of games. And, you know, no coincidence he's thrown seven interceptions in these past two games. I mean, he just doesn't trust his offensive line. So he's trying to force the ball, and he's trying to, you know, make things happen when he doesn't really need to. And, you know, I think a lot of those are just mental mistakes. I think Phillip Rivers still has the arm talent, still throws with good anticipation. I mean, that's the most frustrating part of this, is that he makes great throws and then he makes boneheaded throws. And you're just like, What's going on? What did you see there? What are you thinking? But I think, the bye week really came at a great time for Phillip. He gets his tackles back. He gets some time to just unwind, decompress, and come back for these last five games and be, you know, extremely focused and ready to show everyone in the league that he can still get things done.
Now, do you imagine, I know there's been a lot of speculation, do you imagine this could potentially be the last year that the Chargers have Phillip Rivers as their quarterback? You think they're going to look quarterback in this year's upcoming draft? I mean, all these things right now, I think it's really early to speculate on, but given his struggles, given the evolution that we've seen at the quarterback position, I think now every NFL team is trying to embrace the run and gun, the mobility type stuff. You don't really see a lot of quarterbacks outside of Tom Brady, really Phillip Rivers, and I'd say maybe even Drew Brees, that actually stand back in the pocket consistently and make those throws. I mean, these guys are the guys that can do it, but now we're seeing the quarterback position transform to mobility rather than being in a pocket passer, which, to be honest with you, has been crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, look at Lamar Jackson. I mean, that guy is on fire. I mean, he's doing everything well. He's probably going to be the MVP of the league this year. Obviously, you got Russell Wilson, who's been killing it in the league for a very long time. You're right. I mean, the way of the quarterback is definitely going towards that mobile type of quarterback who can extend plays and make things happen with his legs. And our head coach, Andy Lynn, I mean, subscribes to that logic as well. I mean, he brought in Tyrod Taylor because he's familiar with him, but also because, you know, he can run around a little bit. I mean, obviously, we all know Phillip Rivers has never ran around. He's not capable of. He's a true pocket passer. But to answer your question, yeah, I believe, you know, it could very well be the last year for Phillip Rivers if, you know, he ends these last five games playing as poorly as he has here lately. But I will preface that by saying that if he does do well, I think there is a chance that the Chargers might push all their chips into the center and really try to give Phillip Rivers the best opportunity he can to win a championship. But I think they're going to have to see some better production out of him in these last five games. I think these last five games are going to be very important for him. To show that, you know, like I said before, that he can actually still get things done. And if not, I mean, he is 38 years old. So, I mean, the likelihood of the Chargers drafting another quarterback, regardless on if they re-sign Phillip Rivers or not, is very, very high. I mean, I believe that they have to start planning for the future. And so that means taking a quarterback to replace Phillip Rivers very, very, very early in this next coming up draft. I do believe, though, that the best situation probably would be something that Phillip Rivers went through himself, is having a starting quarterback there to play out the year, let this other young quarterback sit underneath him, learn from Phillip Rivers, who undoubtedly is one of the smartest quarterbacks in NFL history. The way he can dissect a defense, I think he would be able to pass on some very valuable information to a young quarterback and then be able to hand over the reins.
It'd be certainly hard to imagine the LA Chargers without a guy like Phillip Rivers in their plans. You know, he's been a very monumental part of their franchise. And, you know, the battles between Broncos and the Chargers, I tell you what, it's always been fun. It's a matchup that Broncos cornerback Chris Harris Jr. and Von Miller, they love going against Phillip Rivers. They all talk trash to each other, but they have a lot of respect for one another. The last time these two teams met, the Broncos won on the road in L.A., which sparked a little bit of verbal back and forth between Keenan Allen and Chris Harris Jr. after Keenan Allen finished the game 4 catches and around 18 yards. You know, what do you imagine we can expect from this, you know, matchup between Keenan Allen and Chris Harris Jr. on Sunday? I imagine it's going to be the focal point of this game that I think people are going to talk about too. But you also think about some of the other wide receivers that could impact the Broncos secondary. I imagine we're going to see Keenan Allen try to step up to the plate here against Chris Harris, because the last time these two guys met, it wasn't very friendly.
No, I mean, I don't think it's going to be friendly this time either, but I think, you know, Keenan Allen's going to come into this game with a chip on his shoulder. I mean, he's already said on multiple occasions that he's not too fond of the corners over there on the Broncos. Obviously, he has respect for Chris Harris Jr. because Chris Harris Jr. is one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. I mean, bar none. I think, you know, everybody knows that. Keenan also knows that. But Keenan's also a fierce, and I mean fierce, competitor. I think wants to go out there and embarrass Chris Harris Jr. I mean, if I could say so, I think Keenan Allen believes he's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. And I think, you know, when you believe you're the best, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, you have to show it against some of the best corners in the NFL. And obviously he gets to go against, or has been able to go against, Chris Harris Jr. for the last several years in a row. And I think to cap this year off, you know, to finish this year against the Broncos, I think he wants to go out there and put up one of his performances of the year.
The last thing I want to get to here, because this is big news regarding the Chargers and how it pertains to this matchup here, is, you know, they're going to be getting some help this weekend with the return of Derwin James. What do you anticipate we'll see from the Chargers' approach with him? You know, do you think he'll be on a snap count? You know, what kind of impact do you think that, you know, James' return to the lineup can have for the Chargers on Sunday?
Oh, man. First of all, can I say how excited I am to get Derwin James back? I mean, he is such an animal. I mean, he is one of the best defenders in the NFL, I mean, in year two. And that's scary to say that he can still get better. But the thing that makes Derwin James so special is that he literally is like three or four players in one. He can play back and, you know, play free safety. He can play in the box at strong safety. He's a great tackler. He's also a great rusher. He can rush the quarterback with the best of them. He's just got that size, that animal, that dog in him. And, you know, he's just such an amazing player. The Chargers have sorely missed him and his leadership too. I mean, just his presence in the lineup. And, you know, it's going to be great to see him out there. I think, yeah, they're definitely going to have him on the snap count. I mean, I don't think you can really just unleash a guy after, you know, being injured for 3 months and say, hey, you know, just go play to your heart's content. Although I will also say this, I think it's going to have to depend on the flow of the game. I think, you know, if the Chargers, you know, see Derwin James out there playing well, making plays, looking good, then they might, you know, let him play a little bit more. but, you know, if he, you know, in the contrary, if he's struggling a little bit, doesn't see that, have that same range of motion or the same speed, then yeah, I would imagine they would take him out. They don't want to take any chances. Like I said, he's been injured for a long time. I think the goal for Derwin James and for the Chargers is to be able to play these last five games and be able to finish them healthy.
And I think that would be an ideal hope for every team. And, you know, the Chargers, they've been a team that, you know, they've been banged up with injuries for the last couple of years. It's almost seemed like they have the worst luck when it comes to injuries in the league. So definitely will be a big boost to get Derwin James back this week against the Denver Broncos. But as we mentioned, Broncos fans, Chargers fans, it is Thanksgiving week, which means that with MyBookie, they're offering a risk-free bet on the Bears and Lions game on Thanksgiving Day. You simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. And if you win, congratulations, you've got extra holiday spending money. And if you lose, well, congratulations to you as well. MyBookie will give you all of your money back. This is a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk and all gravy. And it doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer. MyBookie, they welcome all to come play. So quit waiting around and sign up today. Because do you find yourself wanting to sports bet, but you have lots of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the entire process. And the best part of it is, if you join right now, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. All you have to do is log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. And get MyBookie. They'll match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll today, and that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let me repeat, that's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for this week only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply cannot lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, and you get paid.
All right, we are back here on Crossover Wednesday. Of course, this is David Drogemeyer, Locked On Chargers. I am joined with Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos, and we're going to get into some Broncos talk now. So despite a less than ideal year here, Cody, the Broncos still have several standout players, some great ones. Obviously, you got Von Miller, you got Chris Harris Jr. we talked about before, but how many Pro Bowlers do you see on this team?
You know, great question. There's a guy right now that's playing at an all-pro level. I think he should be a Pro Bowl safety this year for the Broncos. It's been Justin Simmons, who's in a contract season right now, trying to play for a contract. And I tell you what, 3 interceptions on the year. He's been a force in the run for the Broncos. He's been probably the most improved player. If I had to take a look at it defensively in comparison from last year to this year, he's got more confidence. This defensive scheme with Vic Fangio is a type of defensive scheme that, you know, I think he can thrive in. Now, you mentioned Von Miller, Chris Harris Jr. Those guys are always playing at a Pro Bowl style of level. You know, everybody's looking at the stat sheet for the Broncos. Von Miller sitting at 6 sacks total on the year. But if they, you know, they go back and they watch the film, his impact has still been there. He's created more opportunities, to be honest with you, for other players on the defense this year than really just himself. You know, in the past couple of years, we've seen Derek Wolfe and the nose tackle, Domantha Peko, when he was there with the Broncos. He created double team situations, which freed Von Miller up from that extra attention that he would normally get. Well, Von Miller still seeing double chips, triple blocking, I mean, from running backs, tight ends, and tackles. He's seeing a lot of action. So he's creating these opportunities for a lot of those guys. If I had to say, you know, maybe another underrated guy that might be playing at a Pro Bowl level this year, 2 guys at the inside linebacker position, I'd have to go with Alexander Johnson and Todd Davis. These guys have really been the dynamic duo that this Broncos defense hasn't had an inside backer since probably Danny Trevathan, when him and Brandon Marshall were their inside backer. They've really counterparted one another. They've really complemented the abilities of one another. And, you know, we saw that, you know, really the rise of Alexander Johnson against the Los Angeles Chargers in the beginning of the season on the road in L.A., you know, being able to drop back into the goal line and intercept Phillip Rivers on a pass. You know, these guys are playing at a pretty good level right now. So if I had to say maybe these guys get a nod for the Pro Bowl consideration, it would have to be, you know, Justin Simmons and either Todd Davis or Alexander Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, man, great play he made against Phillip Rivers. Obviously, not too happy to see it on this end. But, you know, speaking of quarterbacks, I mean, there's been some whispers out there that second-round pick Drew Locke might be taking over the reins as Denver's starting quarterback. Is it time to see what this kid's got, and how do you feel about that move?
Yeah, you know, there is a lot of smoke right now, and Broncos head coach Vic Fangio didn't really give a yay or a nay on Monday's press conference when it came to the question, you know, are we going to see Drew Locke on Sunday? There is some smoke, and I would say that I would be surprised right now if we don't see Drew Locke on Sunday against LA. I would anticipate that he's probably going to get the start. I know nothing right now has been announced, and so really, you know, if they do announce it, you know, the Chargers are probably going to have to look back on some preseason film, and they're going to have to take a look at Drew Locke, and I think they're also going to have to take a look on film of Brandon Allen in the event that maybe Drew Locke doesn't play. I think right now the Broncos sitting at 3-8, they need to see what they have from their second round pick. 5 games left in the season. You get a little bit of an idea maybe what you got with your rookie guy, and it gives you an idea heading into the 2020 draft. Do you need to take a look at some of the top quarterback prospects entering this year's draft? You know, guys that may be more NFL ready from the onset. You got to figure out what you have with your guy, and I think the Broncos need to figure it out. And like I said, I would be completely shocked if Drew Locke is not playing on Sunday.
All right, so getting into kind of this game a little more specifically, what's the health situation looking for the Broncos coming into this one on Sunday?
They're a little banged up at several positions. You take a look at the Broncos' offensive line, Connor McGovern at center, Ron Leary at right guard, and left guard, you have Dalton Risner, who's one of your rookie picks, who's playing, you know, splendidly well this season for a rookie at the offensive line position. Those guys sat out practice last week, 2 days in a row, all dealing with a variety of injuries. Leary dealing with a little bit of a shoulder and a back issue. Risner dealing with an ankle, Connor McGovern dealing with a little bit of a back issue himself. And, they, you know, I think it hurt them last week sitting 2 days of practice. They played on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. They're kind of banged up, but the Broncos anticipate they'll be okay. Wide receiver Cortland Sutton, who, you know, had a big game against the LA Chargers, 75-yard touchdown reception in their first matchup this season. He had a little bit of an ankle issue. I know. He had a little bit of an ankle issue on Sunday against the Bills. He tweaked it, but Broncos head coach Vic Fangio says that he expects that he will be okay in that regard. And really outside of that, you're taking a look at this Broncos team. They're okay in terms of health-wise. Defensively, they're not really missing any guys majorly. They're hoping that Shelby Harris, who rolled his ankle pregame against the Bills, hopefully he can go this week for the Broncos as well. So, you know, relatively not too many big injuries right now that could possibly hinder this matchup. And I think that we could see a full team, fully healthy Broncos team versus a pretty decently healthy Chargers team. So that's definitely something that'll make this matchup a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, I mean, especially at this point in the year, I mean, let's be honest, everybody's got some bumps and bruises. I mean, that they're playing through. I mean, I don't think anybody's really truly 100%. But what do you think the game plan is going to be for the Broncos going up against this second AFC West matchup against the Chargers this year?
Well, I think the Broncos benefited from not having Melvin Ingram in that first matchup. And when we take a look at this Broncos O-line, they surrendered 4 sacks last week. One of those was a miscommunication, according to Vic Fangio. The other one, the quarterback's got to get the ball out of his hands quickly. We know that this pass rush, when you talk about, you know, Bosa, you talk about Ingram, and you talk about, you know, some of that pressure that you have, the artillery at the defensive tackle position, you know, they're going to get after the quarterback. They're going to try to clog some of those running lanes and force the Broncos to pass the football, which I think has been every team's kind of game plan since the fact that they've realized Brandon Allen is who he is. I would say that this matchup kind of scares me a little bit when you take a look at it, because they have to figure out a way to protect the quarterback, something that they haven't done well. Garrett Bowles, 13 holding calls in the NFL, leads the NFL in that category right there. Broncos fans are frustrated about that, and they're going to have their hands full this matchup, especially, you know, trying to get the ball to their hands quickly. If Drew Locke's at quarterback, help your rookie out, roll out to the right, get the ball out of your hands quickly. But, you know, I tell you what, LA's going to be ready for that bootleg and that play action. They're going to try to sniff it out early and often, and they're going to try to force Drew Locke, if he is the quarterback, to step up in the pocket and make some throws, which, you know, for a guy who's a rookie and this is his real first NFL regular season experience, it's kind of scary. And I think that's the game plan that the Chargers want to get from the Broncos. I think defensively, going against Phillip Rivers and Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, I mean, the weapons are there. Hunter Henry, I mean, the Broncos, I don't believe Hunter Henry played in that first matchup either. So, you know, they're going to benefit from, you know, maybe having a little bit of a health advantage here in terms of getting those guys back. I think the offense will be at a stronger pace for the Chargers than it was in that first matchup. Defensively, you got to find a way to contain Keenan Allen. And outside of that, if you lock up Keenan Allen, you got to have somebody to account for a guy like Mike Williams, who, you know, is a big play wide receiver, very talented, very skilled jump ball player as well, and decent route runner. And then also you got to account for Hunter Henry across the middle of the field. But I'm going to be intrigued to see how the Broncos change their game plan, because he wasn't playing that first matchup, and they really used Kareem Jackson to spy Austin Eckler and Melvin Gordon. So, you know, you got to account for a lot of things, and it's not going to be easy. And the Chargers are coming in hungry off of that devastating loss to the Chiefs on Monday Night Football in Mexico, having the bye week, having time to regroup, and the Broncos coming off a loss. You know, this is going to be a big matchup for the Broncos to try to rebound in.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that, the Broncos are coming off of a, you know, pretty miserable two-game stretch. I mean, they lost a heartbreaker to the Minnesota Vikings, and then just came back and just, you know, had a really bad loss to the Bills. I mean, what would you like to see from the Broncos just to finish out this year strong?
I would say you're playing for your identity going forward. I want to see this team try to piece together bits and pieces of what they plan on carrying over into next season. We've seen on paper, you mentioned the Minnesota Vikings game. Defensively, for the first half, the Broncos had a formula that looked phenomenal. They were getting to Kirk Cousins. They were flustering Stephon Diggs in the passing game. They were able to do some really good things. You got to build on those things and carry those pieces over into 2020. So I think for the rest of the season, I'm trying to see the Broncos play for identity going forward. You know, a lot of people say, well, they need to get top five draft pick position. I mean, right now they're currently sitting at the fifth pick in the NFL draft if it were to be tomorrow. I just want to see them compete. You know, regardless of win-loss, playoffs are out the window. The division is out of the window for the Broncos this year. You're playing for pride. You're playing for identity going forward, because the Broncos are undergoing a culture change, and it's going to take some time.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, where can all the Charger fans find you guys over the Locked On Broncos and all your guys' great work?
Yeah, you know, Chargers fans, you know, appreciate you guys tuning into this crossover show, and love what David and the guys are doing over there at Locked On Chargers. You guys can follow me on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL. You can tune in also at Locked On Broncos on Twitter. Stay in the conversation. Obviously, we'll be discussing this matchup as it happens on Sunday as well. And David, for Broncos fans, where can they hear you and the guys and what you guys are doing over there at Locked On Chargers?
You guys can check us out on Twitter at Locked On LAC. And, you know, we post all our shows there, and you can always send us questions. We're always very interactive. We love our fans. We'll talk football with anybody. It doesn't just have to be a Charger fan. So if you're a Bronco fan out there and you got a question for us, please shoot it our way. And we'd be more than happy to, you know, interact with you guys as well. And hey, best of luck to the Broncos after Sunday.
Absolutely. And David, happy Thanksgiving to you, Chargers fans, Broncos fans listening. Appreciate you guys tuning into this crossover Wednesday episode a day before Thanksgiving. And, you know, as David said, stay away from that turkey unless you want to fall asleep. The tryptophan is real and everybody falls victim to it this time of year. But obviously football, family, and food. That's a great combination for Thanksgiving. And we want to thank you guys here from the Locked On NFL Network for tuning in.